Hi, this is Tim and Carolina, and we're a couple of friends, colleagues, and former coworkers. We love our industry, our clients, and our community, and that inspired us to share our experience and guest experiences to broaden perspectives and think a little differently. Please leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and tell us how we can serve you better. Share with anyone you think might have some interest working in this industry. And this is all made possible through support from Nichiha Architectural Wall Panels and Venvio Smarter Building Materials Marketing. This is inspiration and motivation to inform and attract future talent to the building industry. Please leave questions you'd like us to discuss or request to be a guest or recommend a guest at buildperspectives.com. And today, Tim is joining us a little bit later. He's running behind at a special panel event, so he'll drop in here shortly. Today, we have a very special guest. His name is Reggie Lucina, and he's with WFB Inspection and Consulting Company. Thank you for being here, Reggie. Welcome.
Welcome for having me as well. Thank you.
All right. So let's start off with just telling us what you do.
Well, currently I am a DSA, which means the Division of the State Architect for the State of California, Building Inspector, Senior Class 1. There's only a few hundred of us in existence for a state of like 55 million people. We oversee the public construction for schools and community colleges to make sure they're safe for every man, woman, and child's use for many years. After I'm gone, like 75 to 100 years, we build them that strong.
That's great.
WFB Inspection Consulting Company is my company. I'm the owner, the president, and I've been around in this business for 4 decades now. And I'm also the creator, founder, trainer, and coach for the recently accredited Working with the Building Inspector Success Training Program. That's accredited by the world's largest building code council for ongoing continued education. It's copywritten and it's trademarked. And it's now in its infancy stage of launching after spending 13 years of my life creating this and having assistants and tech people and marketers and advertisers and working with them and going to trainings myself. That's the summary in my profession right now.
Very exciting. I'd love to ask you some more about both sides of the coin. So how did you get into being an inspector? And are you originally from California? And how did you get into working for the DSA?
Okay. I'm not from California originally, but I've pretty much grown up my entire life here in the Southwest United States, which includes obviously California, Arizona, Colorado, Nevada. And I've traveled all over the place as well. How did I get into this? Well, and I'm going to just say I got into the industry as a start when I was age 13, when I left home on my own.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah. And I started off by sweeping brooms, by trash and picking up trash and doing all the grunt work, so to speak. From there, I worked my way up into becoming a tradesman, joining the local unions, then going on to getting my contractor's license, and then going on to being a general building engineering contractor, then climbing the ladder out of the handyman jobs and the backyard patio jobs up to public and state works projects. And then one day, another inspector from a project, they noticed my talent and said I should become a DSA inspector. And at that time, I was already an International Code Council building inspector, but I just had the license to have it. And DSA is one of the most strictest building organizations in the world.
I can personally vouch for that. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I actually met the last DSA right before he stepped down. Yeah, and I remember him mentioning that the state is extremely short-staffed. Like you said, you're only one of just a couple hundred when there are so many projects out there.
Yeah, it's not just the state that's extremely staffed short. It's the inspection industry itself. There was a recent article about it that the California IORs are running out, and there's a lot of them retiring. I'm the next group up. All the older guys are retiring here in the next few years, so we're going to have a bigger shortage. And it's not easy to qualify to become a DSA inspector. You have to have serious background work on you.
So you're saying, but the inspection industry in general is short-staffed. I remember dealing with a lot of inspection code officials in Florida, in the state of Florida. And I don't know if you're familiar, but they have their own building code, right, similar to California.
Yep.
They just worry more about wind than about seismic and fire, but you know, same thing. And so how would somebody go about becoming a part of the inspection industry?
Well, I recommend when guys talk to me about it that want to get out of the trades and start exploring that side of their career, I recommend them to go to ICC and pick out a specialty that they would like to be an inspector on. Because what I do is I'm one of these rare extremists, so to speak, that inspects 100% of everything from start to finish. So you got to have a real in-depth background with hands-on experience with the public construction of community schools and colleges and stuff.
So what are some specialties that somebody could potentially get into?
Well, then get into the plumbing, mechanical, electrical trades. If you're an electrician by trade and you want to move up in that direction, I recommend you go to ICC and get electrical inspector's license, because the ICC is who really issues the certifications or the licenses to the people who want to become inspectors. And there are specialty inspectors or deputy inspectors, and then there's building and combination building inspectors, and then they've got the residential building inspector's license, and then they've got the commercial building inspector's license. And they're the foremost leading institute in the world that certifies building inspectors.
Okay. I had no idea.
And they're actually the one who have accredited my training programs for the ongoing continued education.
Okay, so the ICC accredited your courses.
Yes. And cool. My courses are accredited for any level of licensee or certification or any type of specialty licenses that are out there for a building inspector. They can all take this course and get approved credit for renewing their licenses.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And what is something that, in terms of perks, whether that's pay or control of your time, flexibility, what would you say is an advantage or disadvantage of becoming an inspector or joining the inspection industry from the trades?
It all depends on how you want to approach it. Do you want to be your own independent consultant and go out and sell your services? Or do you want to go down and register after you get licensed? Would you prefer to go down and register with the unions and then go be an employee at laboratories of record, which are basically construction and materials testing engineering firms
that
supply the industry with inspectors? But they all go through either the union or that door there, except for guys like me. I'm independent. I built my own company around it. I've got a reputation, so you got to get a word of mouth, and then you got to know how to get into certain areas. And part of my training courses is teaching that part of it. It's the part that nobody teaches anywhere else. It's all the how to dealing with the chaoses and the disorders, and I'm going to say the differentiated mindsets.
Okay.
Because my experience out here, I deal with everybody and all their different mindsets, all their different emotions and things. So I watch people. I sit in the center of the round table while everybody is in there arguing and blaming and finger pointing with everybody.
Been there. Yep.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, in the trailer, in the pre-con meetings. Yep. Yes, yep. Take that down.
And I'm the one who has to solve all that. That's why I'm a DSA Class 1, which is as high as you can get. I don't know any other license you can get in that's higher than this. And it's very difficult to pass the test. It's extremely difficult. And you can't go to school for it either. There's no schools for it. There's people out there like me that teach what we know.
So is that kind of why you got into it? Why you decided to start this on the side and have your own business is just to try to help others that want to get into the inspection industry and kind of show them the ropes?
Yeah, it's a kind of a combination of all of it weaved in together. I became an inspector because I wanted to help teach people how to do things the right way. However, as an inspector, you're not allowed to do that. You're allowed to fail. And that gets you into trouble a lot because you're starting to tell them what to do.
Well, I want to ask you this because I have wanted to ask a code official this forever. Well, another option would be for someone to go work for a city or a state, right? For a local jurisdiction.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. In fact, that's where a lot of them get their starts at, is they'll go to work as an in-house school inspector. And in other words, they'll go to... They're a maintenance, because schools have ongoing deferred maintenance programs, which required by law to be inspected by a qualified individual.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And a lot of the guys that come into the DSA that start out at a class 3 or class 4, which are the lowest ones. We have 1 through 4 on a scale. Mm-hmm. 1 being the senior highest, and that's where I'm at. And school districts will have their own in-house little school maintenance programs. And, you know, basically a guy can get a job or a girl and be just a school inspector indoors. Now, I'm working with bond programs right now, which is public money funded from the taxpayers to build new products and new school buildings. I'm on one right now. It's for a community college, and it's a big major soundstage and recording equipment building to help the local community kids that are looking for careers and they want to join the movie industry. We're doing basically a training center so they can go to work in the movie studios.
That's so cool.
Hey guys, it's Tim.
Hey Tim, you made it.
I heard you talking about me.
It was all good, I promise. So Tim, Reggie and I have been having a conversation about how he got into the inspection industry, and it's very, very interesting stuff. And what I want to do right now is go back, Reggie, what you mentioned, that someone noticed your talent and suggested that you join the DSA. Would you consider that person a mentor?
No, he was actually another inspector on a project that we were constructing at the time. And I was kind of resistant to it because I was still in the contractor mentality. I wanted to still grow and be a bigger contractor, because that's what happens to people that become contractors. They get stuck in their own ego and battle. And you kind of got this standoff position towards inspectors and stuff. But they basically just talked me into, well, just take the exam. Just get licensed just in case. So I did. And that kind of pretty much changed my life around. I don't contract at all anymore. I actually make better money. I have less headaches to hassle. I don't have to deal with employees. You know, there's a lot of benefits to that. But also as an independent, I was telling you the difference between going to work for someone and an independent. You might be off work for 6 months to a year because of the cycle of projects and the economy.
Yeah, but for sure.
Being an employee is, you know, you get your retirement, you get your benefits, you get your vacation pay and all that stuff, and somebody else takes care of you. Mm-hmm. So it's a choice. And part of my training course is to help people understand both sides, you know, and what's going on, because they'll benefit in all aspects of the industry that in a whole that takes to succeed.
Yeah.
And I call it, it's mindset is the currency of the future. And we live in a world of chaos and disorder, and low bidder nightmare is the one who wins the awards. And they come in with a preset fixed mindset and it never works out.
Yeah, you got to have that growth mindset.
You've got to be able to do that. And I'm dealing with that issue right here, right now. And this is $100 million company. I'm not going to say their name. And they're just, everything they do, it just pushes them back and pushes them back. And I keep showing them how to do this stuff and how to think. And by God, they just are resistant because they want to be right. And in order to be right, they'll take 5 times doing it over and over until they finally say, I got it. I did it, you know.
And then they'll take the credit for it.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, of course. Of course.
So that's an example of maybe a client or a group who is hesitant to change or maybe has some fear behind it. Where have you seen success in, I guess, for lack of a better term, mentoring companies or individuals where they have adopted what you're teaching and they have had successes with that? And because that's as rewarding as the actual inspecting job, or maybe even more so.
The way I'm going to approach that is my influence on these contractors, when I'm working with them, it's all resistance, but there comes a point in the path of the project's process where it starts getting easier for them because they're going over this curve. They were climbing this hill of struggle to get to this resistance out through here. So they're starting to coast and accelerate and go faster. And they're starting to see the results of why my inspection, my training and stuff is so intense. Because at the tail end of the job, they're closing up faster. They're going to be able to walk out of here without a disaster zone of paperwork and stuff because they finished it all. Even my own, we'll say my tech team that helped me design and build the program, pulled it out of my head. They even are experiencing their own personal growth just from listening to me and writing down what I'm saying, and because they've had to do it. It's a process. It's a three-step process that you have to do it over and over. It's repetition and frequency until you just get a aha moment. You know, mm-hmm. You say, oh, now I get it. That's what one of my writers did. One day he just went, got it, after 3 years of struggle with him, writing and listening to me. And he just popped one day. He goes, you get it. So it applies to any industry.
I agree. I mean, I think that the beauty of community is, I mean, just between three people, you, Caroline, and I are on this Zoom call, and we have three different probably communication styles, vernaculars, experience, you know, whatever the case is. But when you have a community, the bigger the community, the more people might have the same style. So then you get some momentum from that, because then you have, okay, wow, I didn't understand it the way Tim said it, but I totally understand it the way Reggie says it. That happens all the time with me, actually. Like, could you say that again 14 times? Because I don't maybe communicate the idea very well. So how is the community of those folks where it has been successful and you have seen that sort of transformation, how has that parlayed into even more people, that sort of network effects of that knowledge and excitement?
Well, the way best expressed would be, you can take this home with you. It doesn't just apply in your business life. I disagree with the concept, your personal life is separated from your business life. When I am adamant that they're one and the same, it's just one takes part in the other. They're constantly integrated. And here's what I experience all the time. You hear the people say, well, they've been doing it 30 to 50 years the same way. And I go, well, that's why you're getting the same result and you're having to fix it over again. You're having to redo it. And I can't tell you how often this happens.
I know you mentioned training, coaching, and mentoring. Do you actually do coaching and training in this industry? Because, man, Tim and I were talking about this last week, that the word coach has such a negative connotation.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people ripping you off, and there's no certifications for coaches, so people automatically assume that coaches are charlatans, which I, of course, disagree with. I have personally hired coaches and paid lots of money, and they've helped me very much, but I've never seen anyone in the building industry talk about it openly, so I would love to hear how that's worked out for you.
That's a good question. First, I'll tell you that I've personally trained or gotten mentored or gotten coached, whatever word you want to use. I do know that everybody's life coach now, you know, and you look on Facebook or LinkedIn or all these social media sites, and everybody's selling life coaching services and they're 23 years old, you know. So what are you going to teach me? I mean, I've been on my own since I was 13, permanently when I was 15. I didn't go to high school or college. And I've got pretty much a PhD in construction. I wrote my thesis, which is my 9 training courses. So I'm not happy with the terminology coach. I call it success training because I'm teaching people to be successful. And again, remember, my courses are accredited for ongoing education because of the way they were constructed and written and stuff. They're learning tools that you can use over and over and over again. And there's no wrong answer. It's all about learning about how you fit in to all this different dialect that goes on every day that we all deal with in our own spaces out in the world, whatever it is that we're doing. And I had recently one of my specialty laboratory owners, of the owner, she looked at it out here with me just a couple weeks ago. And she knew about it when I was just starting to manufacture it like 6-7 years ago. And she was so impressed with this. She goes, you know where you need to get this at? You need to get it in the junior high school. And that's
100%.
You know, that's where it'll be most effective at. And if you take my course, you can take them in any order. There's no specific manual order. You just take them. And you can take it home and teach it to your kids, and your kids will pretty much have some phenomenal outcomes in their life because no one else is doing anything like this on planet Earth, according to my terms.
That's a good point, because there's a couple of professors I've talked to recently that have ordered samples. And so I follow up with them, ask them about their class. They say, you know what? We don't have manufacturers. We don't have industry experts come in. You know, I'm the professor. Like, I haven't done this particular discipline in years. I need people that are current with what's going on to come in and talk about these things. And so we're setting that up. But how that seems like high schools would be looking for something like this, because, you know, younger folks, maybe they will take computer science is great, but they have a need nowadays to make stuff with their hands. They're sort of coming back to that. So I think it's perfect timing. All the studies that have been done recently is that the young folks want to be makers. And there's only so much fulfillment you get out of doing that with a keyboard versus, you know, being on site. So I think that's awesome. We definitely want to follow up with you on that and see how that's going. I'm at a modular offsite prefab conference called Advancing Prefab here in Dallas. How much of your coursework has to do with, does it get that granular with inspecting third party in a factory, those sort of things?
No, I don't teach people how to inspect. I do have a course that teaches people how to pass the DSA exam, but it's a little bit out of date. It still works. What I teach people is what schools and education institutes don't teach people after they leave. How many college graduates go out and they don't know what they're doing?
I wanted to, just out of curiosity, Reggie, I wanted to ask you, which of your courses is the most popular? Which one has, do you see the most activity? And which one was your favorite to make?
Well, when I, in the beginning, it was supposed to be one big master course, and it was going to be a week-long training, and then I realized that it was too long, and no one would take it, and we divided it into the 9 main categories, and that's how it came out to 9 courses. They're all 5-hour courses. They're all just as good as the other. It really depends on where you are at personally. The feedback that I get from people that are looking at it is they get really emotional when they talk about the one where I do accountability. I've just started my training series, live training series, and it's just undergo. And I forgot to tell you, this is also available online.
What's the website?
You can go to my personal branding site, which is reggielacina.com. It's right there. The big banner says working with the building inspector. And when you go to my business website, you'll see the same thing, a big banner, and you just click on it and it'll take you right over to the ICC courses. We've got them bundled up. You can take them singly. You can take them bundled together. I've got a free book on business relationships on the website as well. It's just a downloadable. And they're all good. Even every time I pick one up and open it up and read it again or edit it, it's just like, blown away about, God, this is good stuff. And it's not because I wrote it. You know, I had paid people for years to listen to me talk until we got it organized and separated so even a child could read it and understand it now.
Yeah. Wow. Good.
I'm looking for your business website so we can include it.
That's wfbconsulting.net.
WF as in Frank, B as in, I don't know, Bravo, I guess is the right way, wfbconsulting.net. Okay, good. Yeah. We'll make sure to include those in the show notes. I think barring any other questions that Carolina has, one of the final questions we like to ask is, what is an important topic in construction that you think no one's talking about but should be?
Well, you've got so many of them. Training and teaching people is, it's like no one's doing anything about it anymore.
No, we used to have shop class in high school. That's where I fell in love with it.
Yeah, and it's just nobody does training anymore. That's part of what this whole program is all about.
So you would say training is the number one thing. No, Mike Rowe talks about this a lot. He talks about how the story of how computer sciences took over building sciences in high school because the funding wasn't there from the big tool manufacturers to fund these shops. So they basically cleaned them out and put in computer science. Which is fine. A lot of cool things that come that way, but that's where that education is falling down. So what's one way, besides your own coursework, what's your favorite digital or analog tool to stay kind of on top, organized, on top of the industry, new trends, developments? What's your favorite resource? Or just any resource that helps you stay on top of changes in the industry, things that you may want to include in future modules of your learning? What kind of keeps you organized and resourceful?
I'm one of those guys who have that drive inside them. I'm going to call it inspiration. If you don't have inspiration and desire to do it, then you're not doing what you love, first of all. If you're not doing that, then you're not going to live a fulfilled life. And that's part of what I'm doing here, is to help people understand and get a better fulfillment out of what it is that they're doing, and get clarity and get all the, I'm going to call it the baggage out of the closet of the mind's eye. Clear that out. You got to be disciplined, reliable, and focused to yourself first. And it's about investing in yourself. People think that investing is filling your house full of TVs and VCRs and all that stuff. You know, I've been there and been through that. I know what it's like. And I got a big wake up call one day when the doctor says, you got about 2 years left to live.
And, wow.
And that was like 13 years ago. My health just fell apart from buying into the social projection on what we're supposed to do instead of by other, you know, projections of values. And no one understands their values. And part of my course is also address your values. And that's got to be the most, one of the most important things in communication, is understanding yourself first. What's most important to you?
Yeah.
And me as a trainer, you guys as a trainer or coach or whatever you label yourself as, the key to success is being able to communicate in terms of somebody else's values, what it is that you're trying to teach them. So if you can connect to their values and what they're about, they're going to get inspired. That's what opens up their inspiration to grow and learn. And that's how I came about putting this course together. I was inspired to do something about life.
And I probably started with your consumption of a bunch of different material and over the years. So you then could distill that down into something that maybe was, you know, took up a ton of space in your brain down to something that's more digestible. And I think there needs to be more resources like that. And I love that. Whether the podcasts or audiobooks or blogs or courses, I think more and more people do.
I really liked what you said, Reggie, when you said to live by design and not by default. So, which is kind of what you're saying, you know, that's be intentional and be inspired and have the drive. Be authentic to yourself, right? Be intentional.
One thing I want to bring up here, which I think is really important, is, you know, I've trained underneath a lot of coaches, and I don't know how I found them. I don't know how I could afford them, how I came up with the money. It still amazes me, but like Dr. John DeMartini, you know who he is? You ever heard of him?
No, uh-uh.
I haven't.
Okay, well, he's one of the foremost leading experts in the world. He's the first white Western Americaner to ever go into Israel and Palestine and help resolve their 2,000-year-old conflict. I've trained under him for like a dozen years now. And he was the one who inspired me to build these courses. He just kept saying, Reggie, you've got it in you already. Stop trying to find something else and chunk down what you have.
Get it done, yeah.
In any order, just put the chunk it down. And that's why my course, take them in any order. Just do them. Yeah. My key thing here is for people to understand is you've got to get out of the low, bitter, stinking mindset. That's the trouble with everybody. They're in this fixed way of thinking to do it cheaper. Do it cheaper. I'll cut corners. When you cut corners, you're not in design, and you get the universal response. It just, I watch it all the time. People just, it's just like knocking yourself in the head again. And they do it over and over and over in a different form. And all it does is it takes your life and takes your money from you. And the solution to that is pay full price now or pay more later.
I
like that line. Pay full price now or pay later. Pay more later.
Yeah.
that's basically should be a law, because that's pretty much what happens no matter what.
Yep. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. Doesn't matter. It's populated all over the world like that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually these courses will be global. And they will be in multiple languages.
That's super exciting, because that's not just an issue here. As I'm finding out at this event, I'm finding out that training and labor, especially for youths, is just non-existent in Western Europe. Northern Europe, for sure. Eastern Europe, for sure. There's tons of education in the school system for those, but not in Western culture. So that would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a labor problem here in the United States of uneducated people. But the problem, it's the trades, so to speak, of the construction trades, is hurting for good people, people with skills. And the truth is if you find a position that you like to do in the construction trade that rewards you, you'll make more just as much money doing that is you will go into college and coming out and don't go in and sitting in a cubicle because you have a degree.
Well, the fulfillment of that is definitely, you know, a lot of young ones have anxiety now and challenges with that. And fulfilling job plays a lot into sort of alleviating just those social concerns. So, man, I hope that a lot of people will go check out your website and look at your training and be inspired as you are. And I think that we've learned a lot from you today. Just, I would say, I don't want to speak for Carolina, but definitely learned a lot from you and looking at your resources. So I'll be checking those out for sure, personally.
If you guys are in Houston in August, I'm taking this to my first trade show. It's called Build USA Expo. The Houston one is the largest one in the United States. I've got a booth there, and I'm launching the program there as well.
All right. Well, we'll have to include that in the show notes and try and make it ourselves. And if not, then definitely we'll encourage other folks to do that as well. And that's one of those things, your voice changing and making this industry better. I think a lot of people will benefit from that. So I hope everyone learned a lot today. Where, you know, Build Perspectives as a podcast is really about, you know, different angles on the industry and different people's stories. And so really appreciate you sharing that today. Hope we get to have you on again soon.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes. Thank you, Reggie.
This podcast is made available free to you, our loyal listener. Thanks to Nichiha.com and Venvio Smarter Building Materials Marketing Podcast. Please subscribe and rate us on your podcast player. Also, podcasts are still very new to a lot of folks.
If you find Build Perspectives helpful and motivating, please share a link to the show and let your friends know how to subscribe so they can be notified when new episodes drop.
Entertaining architecture and construction talk and fresh perspectives, something my dad says you can never have too much of. I hope you all visit Reggie's website, ReggieLacina.com, and check out the resources there. Visit us at BuildPerspectives.com, and we will see you later.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.